This podcast is brought to you by the ILGA Oceania Rainbow Human Rights and Health Conference and PrideNZ.com.
This last session for the day is one that I really wanted in the program. I'm a little bit sad that it's at the end of the day when everyone's tired, so I'm appreciating the fact that people have turned up. 2 years ago when we started the conference, isn't it funny how time distorts when you're in these very intense thinking, emotional times? It's not even 24 hours ago that we started and so much has happened already. I just want to hold that. So this session, the last of today, is a session on LGBTI health. And I'm saying LGBTI because it doesn't really represent our community in the totality. It's a great privilege and honour to invite our two guests tonight. And we're starting with Elizabeth Kerikeri. I've known Elizabeth for a long time. We're two people that have worked with youth, with our rangatahi, for a long time, because I've known always that our future is in our youth. It's not with those of us who are older currently. It's the community that's coming after us. Elizabeth reminded me before that she wasn't one of the people that established Te Whanawhana. She was the person that established Te Whanawhana. So I want to organise that. I love working with Elizabeth because one of the things about me is I'm a closet glittery person. Glitter doesn't really go with the sort of tomboy male persona that you see most of the time, but Elizabeth isn't closeted at all. She's right out there. So I'm looking across, who else at the end of the day when you're exhausted would be walking around with pride, with the most glittery pair of high-heeled shoes that I've ever seen? And I've seen Elizabeth wearing these shoes in very uneven, dangerous-looking concrete, and she pulls it off. Please put your hands together for this extraordinary wahine, Elizabeth Kerikeri.
Kia ora koutou, kia ora anō. I was thinking about when I wanted to acknowledge many of the travellers. I think some of them, it's coming to the end of a long day, and I hoped that the next time that they're able to come to this country and we hold a conference or hui, we can do it on a marae, because then we can lie in what I feel is a much more civilised fashion on mattresses. And in our culture, it was always fine that you fell asleep because we believed that the discussion in the house, you absorbed. And then you would just, if someone's snoring too loud, you're just going to push them a little bit. It would be fine. So well done getting to this point of the day. And of course, thank you to the organisers. Really, really, truly amazing. I wanted to do a special shout out to our Pacific whānau, that I think as Māori, our closest relations. In fact, we talk about people of the Pacific being our tuakana, our elder brothers, sisters, gender diverse siblings, and that we I just want to honour their knowledge and acknowledge all of the sacred spaces of all of the places that you have come from, the places you live and the places that you call home. I wanted to do a particular shout out to my mate Betty. We were teenagers together in the Black Women's Movement nearly 35 years ago, and I just want to acknowledge that Betty set up the first Pacific Island social services in this country in the 80s, was set up by a 19-year-old out Samoan lesbian, and I think that's pretty incredible. And also, I have a particular heart for the Pacific because much as I tried very hard to find a Māori girlfriend, and I looked high and low, it ended up being a Samoan woman that was able to keep my attention. And on Monday, we celebrate 24 years together. And And thank you, because, yeah, I want to go, I'm totally showing off. But on another level, it's a revolution for us to have healthy, happy, fun, beautiful relationships inside our community. Because when things are good at home, we can operate much better in the rest of the world. Okay, and my last thing, because as is my want, I take being femme very seriously. I don't always dress like this at home, just on special occasions. And because it's my partner Alofa keeps me in high heels. And also, of course, I want to always state my absolute admiration for the butch aesthetic at every opportunity I get. So I wanted to reference, I'm going to get to health by way of some other things. The theme of the conference around restoking the fires, I thought that was really intriguing, because as Māori, we have a particular construct around the ahikā, and those are the people who keep the home fires burning. So we might all come from a particular place, and especially us, we'll acknowledge our tribes, mine is from on the east coast, where the sun rises, and again, any opportunity I have where there's lots of Māori in the room, I will always talk that we are the centre of the universe, just to, you know, just cause. But the ahikā, those who stay home, the rest of us go out to find our fortunes and find ourselves in the rest of the world, they stay home and keep things going. And traditionally, the ahikā meant that you were settled in an area, and that over time and continuous use, then you could claim that space. And I think that that's really critical when we're talking about recharging, refiring, about claiming the space and continuing. And there's this whakatokia proverb that I really like. It's ka wera hoki I te ahi e mana ana anō, which is that while the fire burns, your authority is effective, that we must continue to hold the space. Because as soon as we stop that talking, as soon as we stop turning up to the meeting and saying the same thing over and over again until it's sorted, we lose the space. And so I want to talk a little bit too about one of the things Sandra mentioned with the Arataiohi report. Is one of the number one things they talked about for young people was burnout. And so when we're talking about keeping the fires burning, I think there's real issues when people who are often sometimes acting as individuals, and they're putting all their energy, everything they've got into it, burn out really, really quickly. Some of our groups, under-resourced, needing to build up capacity and needing support and connection with the rest of our communities, they start to burn out. And I like the idea that Jan talked about last night around a movement, actually, that when all of our groups can work together, when we can support each other, when we can know what each other is doing and be there for each other and be able to speak to each other's issues in whatever forum that we are and whatever privilege that we hold, that's when we can start really moving, because we can move together. And it's not necessary that we all have to agree. That's ridiculous. But it's that we have some common things that we can move forward together on. And so when I talk about Te Whanawhana, I talked a little bit this morning about our group, Te Whanawhana, he kahukura ai te rangi. A rainbow is forming in the sky. And so be very clear, when some people talk about that they feel that the rainbow is constricted or based on just certain identities, for us, and particularly as Māori, the rainbow has really specific cultural significance to us. And so it is very, very completely inclusive. So when we use it as an organisation, when we use it in our talking, we mean that every single shade, every hue is encompassed within that. And so when we talk about takatāpui is a traditional term, and it's a centuries old term, it meant intimate companion of the same sex. And so we're not going to turn around and say that the people who lived 500 years ago were lesbian or gay or bisexual. We're not going to say that they were trans because they had gender fluidity. We're going to use takatāpui because that was the term they called themselves. But we claim that now to include all of the breadth of our community. Everyone that we see comes under the rainbow. And I love this. It's like, as an artist, it's like, bring on the colours. And that, how important it is that we each still maintain the right to be able to speak and represent ourselves. and so for Te Whanawhana, our goal is to tell our stories, to build our communities, and to leave a legacy. So that when we do what we do, primarily as a Māori organisation, as a Tagatāpui organisation, that we do that in the context of our wider community. Because if we want to uplift Tagatāpui, we need to uplift all of us. Because as Tagatāpui, we exist amongst all of the community in all different identities, all different ages. And so, when we're talking about health then, Te Whanawhana has been involved in many different projects around health, because we are acknowledging all the different identities that we hold. So, med school here, we've started to develop a relationship with them, and that is about identifying primary health needs. We're going to about to launch into another project around homelessness for LGBTIQ, and we are involved in the Intersex Roundtable. So there's all different things. We're also involved in many projects around housing, other projects, and around education and other areas. Anything basically we can get into, we do. And so later we're going to talk about, you'll find this in your project, something I worked on earlier. This important thing, and I talked about with the strategy, is how important it is to get research and to have the information we need to back up what it is we want to say. Because, and come back to when an individual says, this is my personal experience, the powers that be will go, that's just you. When it's a group of you, they go, it's just a few people. When it's all of us saying that, when all of us and our different identities and different viewpoints we come from are reiterating the same things over and over, then they cannot help but take notice. And two, the two key things, that's one part of it, is that Western requiring an evidence base to make decisions. But the other part of that for us as Māori is to build up and contribute to mātauranga, which is Māori knowledge base. Because the way things operate in our culture is based on tikanga, which is the way things are done, the processes that we use. So our tikanga is that we welcome our guests, we acknowledge where they come from, before we, you know, we open, we say, might use, people use the phrase bless the space, we actually free it to be used for the purpose for which it has been, that you have come here. And so it comes from tika, meaning to make things right. And so with tika, the way that things operate is based on mātauranga. So how we make things work is based on the knowledge base that we have. So for us as Tagatāpui, it's really, really important then to keep building up this knowledge. Because in the days before colonisation, when we had a much greater sexuality, open sexuality and gender fluidity, the memory of that has been lost. And that was not by accident, because at the same time that we lost the bulk of our language, the culture, the absolute conscious assault, in the way that colonisation does its thing, we lost that knowledge about our sexuality. And so as we regain that and reclaim that, and by claiming the term Tagatāpui, then we're reaching back to our whakapapa, to our ancestors, that says, actually, we have always been here. We are claiming that back for now. It connects us back to our language and our culture and all of those things, but they weren't lost. We still had them, and we will reclaim it, and we will add that knowledge until we get to that point where our people realise that discrimination against our people might be part of Māori society. It is absolutely not part of Māori culture, and that every Māori person, every Māori whānau, family unit, should be stepping in to make sure that discrimination against us does not exist. And so the way that Te Whanawhana works is in our rainbow communities, but we also work with our families, with our whānau, with Māori organisations and tribal groups. And so today when we talk about the strategy then, is how do we, in all the different layers and all the different ways we need to make things happen for us as Māori, it's as, just as important, our culture, as it is the way that we express our sexuality, our sexes and our genders. So, let's see. Strategy, I talked plenty about that this morning. that was kind of weird, standing there doing that with the politicians and then having people watching. But I want to talk about this. At the moment, I've been saying I'm just about finished the PhD for quite some time now. I'm very conscious, but really it is honestly nearly finished. And it's about the emergence of takatāpui identity. I realise that, yeah, no matter how lovingly, how well I craft those 100,000 words, not all of you are going to read it. I thought you might read this. And working with the Mental Health Foundation, so I think it's one of the ways that Te Whanawhana operates, because as I say, we're very lean, we focus on our kapahaka, our performance, and being able to work with the communities and engage in that way, that we self-fund, and that a lot of our political work then is our voluntary contribution. And so this was a project that we did with the Mental Health Foundation, and this is around the kaupapa we're funded through suicide prevention. And the way we looked at it, we actually don't talk much about suicide prevention. We look at what it is about in our culture, which will help give hope and help build the strength and resilience inside our whānau to look after our young people better, where this is a real, real issue. And so I'm going to shortly get Jack from the Mental Health Foundation to talk about that. But I just wanted to, coming back to the health, there's a Māori model of health. Some of you who work in the health sector in this country will be familiar with whare tapawhā. And so that looks at the wairua, our spirituality, our connectedness with all things in the universe, our hinengaro, our mind, our emotions, the psychological things, and our tinana, our body, the impacts that it has, and then our whānau, because our family. Because as Māori people, without our family, without that connection to culture, we can't be whole, we can't be healthy. And so we see that all the aspects of all the issues, for me it's like when I think of it like a mini strategy, that because everything's a strategy, everything's a plan, but all the different issues, all the different things that happen to us within our community and the discrimination we face, but also the awesomeness of our lives fits within that model. And so I'm going to hand it over to Jack to talk about this particular project. So even though Jack is in Auckland, she was actually, when she was a she, now he's a he. Jack, the she, was in Te Whanawhana, goes to Auckland and hello. No. So I'm going to invite Jack to come. We'll get to come up and say a few words and we'll do this last bit together.
Go everybody. It's such a good intro. I feel like the thunder's been stolen. I have to hide inside underneath.
Sorry, you might not realise it was true.
Awesome, yay. So, as Elizabeth was saying, I work at the Mental Health Foundation. My role there is suicide prevention specialist. To be honest, we just changed our names, I can't remember. Suicide prevention, anyway, is my thing. And it was really amazing to get to work with Elizabeth and Te Whanawhana on this project. So, I guess just a little brief context around suicide prevention generally as it relates to our communities. I guess, so sometime, actually I had a couple of notes there. The vision of our organisation is a society where all people flourish. So I guess how that, where this connects in is that it's nigh on impossible to flourish if there's a pile of kind of barriers and discrimination that a group of people are facing. So that's our kind of inroad to being able to work in this space with the rainbow communities or whatever. And so all of the kind of evidence, if you look at any of the research, I mean, because it's all, you know, we're all us here, I'm not going to go into all of the kind of horrific, upsetting stats and stuff, but as we all know, our communities are intensely overrepresented when it comes to suicide and mental distress, and yeah, I guess I just also want to take a moment to acknowledge those of our loved ones who aren't here with us but are here with us whenever we talk about this. And yeah, so basically all of the evidence that there is, and we do need more research, but it all points to the fact that our communities are at distinctly higher risk because of discrimination and social exclusion, nothing to do with our glorious selves or who or how we are. And I think that sort of gets conflated, there's trickiness there. The amazing upside of that is that actually when it comes to our communities, suicide prevention is a real possibility, you know, because if the discrimination and the social exclusion is removed, then well-being dramatically increases and suicidality dramatically decreases. So it's kind of, which makes it incredibly frustrating and horrific when that stuff isn't happening. Yeah, because it is so kind of, there is that systemic solution to a lot of things. Waka Hauraua created a Māori and Pacific Suicide Prevention Fund, and we managed to source some funding through that to produce this beautiful resource. And yeah, I guess I just wanted to kind of make a brief mention as well that for those of us, I used to work at Rainbow Youth and a lot of other really small NGO, but particularly when you're working in that space, if you're the Rainbow organisations, it's incredibly, there's so many barriers, all of that, the barriers and exclusion and stuff that we talk about, work at all those different levels. So even in terms of trying to get funding, there are so many barriers to actually getting funding into those organisations, and I have noticed working in a mainstream organisation that suddenly, the money can flow through. Suspicious, but you know. But on the other hand, it's amazing opportunity to be able to kind of get resource for these sorts of things. It was an incredible honour to work with Elizabeth and find that synergy between all of the work that she does and is sort of done forever, and working out how to frame that if we actually think about what constitutes suicide prevention, it is things like community development, it's strengthening connection to culture, sense of self, all of that stuff, all of those things are like protective factors. So so it was really exciting to be able to make this resource, which was all about all of those things that increase who we are, you know, or in this case, increase the well-being for takatāpui. And so I guess, sorry, my other thing there I meant to say was that connection in terms of how all that discrimination and everything works with the way that we managed to get funding for this project was by making it really clear that Māori already face a massive heap of barriers and discrimination due to being Māori, and then for people who are also LGBTI and therefore takatāpui, those barriers and all of that increases. So, which is why this is such a important resource. Yeah, and also just that beautiful thing of, because Elizabeth's also an artist, and just happened to have a whole series of exhibition that was based on exactly the same themes. Yeah, we had all these really beautiful images to work with. So what we thought we'd do is just show you the trailer for the project. It's only like 3 minutes. And then Elizabeth was going to talk through the top 10 tips for takatāpui, which are amazing.
And one of the things that Kevin said in his speech, he talked about laying a platform, and we as Te Whanawhana, what we wanted to do is all of the people who come into this country, whether they've been here for generations or recent migrants here, that as Māori, as takatāpui, we want to lay a platform that the rest of our communities can build on. and be accepted within. So I wanted to run through my top tips. just to absolutely make a point about definition, that the term whakatāpui embraces all of our diversity. That being whakatāpui is based on whakapapa. By claiming that, we're claiming our Māori culture, we're reconnecting with that side of ourselves, that it's about mana, that we inherit mana when we're born by the tribes that we're born into. We inherit mana as we live our lives and we accrue it because of our actions. But that is what we stand on, that says actually it is unacceptable to discriminate against us. Identity, it's about knowing who we are, something all of you are involved in, and inclusion, that regardless of whether we speak Māori, whether we know where we come from, that that connection is there and we will accept all of those things. Okay. We all inherit our gender and sexuality from our ancestors. I think for so many of us, we know our gender when we were very, very young. We know our sexuality. Sometimes our sexual characteristics and those things don't come to light until later. But those are things that come as part of who we are. And so I believe that's Wairua, that's our spirituality, that's our ancestors. And so who we are then is a gift from them. And when someone discriminates against us, they trample on that. Again, not acceptable in our cultural context. That we're part of the whānau. When people talk about, oh, gay over there, or takatāpui over there, as if it's something separate. And people say to me, what do Māori think of takatāpui? And it's like, we are the Māoris. We are not separate from whānau. It's like that thing where people say, oh, using taxpayers' money to do something for our community. It's like, last time I looked, all of us, taxpayers. I digress. Our whānau don't need to get it. They just need to be there. Bella talked about always having to be the one that just explains and teaches everybody around you. It's like, actually, whānau, you don't need to ask a million questions to start off with. You just have to say, you're my baby. We love you. Anyone else muck with us? They deal with us. We will sort it. Discrimination hurts all of us. Not just those of us who identify within this community. It hurts all of our, especially our young women who have to prove that they're heterosexual because of the massive pressure. It hurts our boys in terms of all the things about what does it mean to be a real man in this, in our culture, in our society. All of those impact right across all of our whānau. And that's why I say mana wahine. When this has been an interesting discussion, when I talk about this amongst other academic circles, I believe it's because when colonisation came along and it disrupted the status of women in our culture, so they did not acknowledge us as leaders, as landowners or in control of land, and they took away our rights to our own body, our sexuality, put us into the private domestic, and so they destroyed the balance that made our culture work. And so for me, if we can't get those absolute basics right around gender, we cannot get to the real guts of what it will take to eliminate discrimination against all of us. This, when they go, oh, all of the statistics show that if you're LGBTIQ, that you're more likely to have depression or to self-harm or be suicidal. And now, it is the discrimination against us that contributes to those feelings. Let's be very clear about where that lies. That is not with us, but it's with the people who hurt us. That we totally proudly celebrate. We're not going to be apologetic about all of this. We are not going to hide. To keep those fires burning, we need to always be out. This is really important for me when I talk about, particularly in a Māori context, is we don't do things separately from our elders and our young people. Those things, we work best when we can work together. And so this is really, I say this every time I speak, that we want to be part of Te Whanawhana, wants to be part of a movement that honours our ancestors, respects our elders. We work closely with each other and we look after our young people. And that our well-being is complex. It comes, we need a lot of things going on. We need to do work inside our whānau, we have our friends, and within our communities. And the last ones, this is really important. When we work with whānau, we just say, if you're going to be a leader inside your whānau, is that you need to step in. And so we talk about promoting acceptance, but the most important thing is challenging. Challenging discrimination wherever it occurs in our whānau. And so, at the back of the book are those tips. Summarises what's in the resource. I hope you read it. There's one particular thing I want to bring up that's contained inside here but doesn't feature in the tips, is that in Māori culture, we have a creature was called a tipua, and they were able to change gender and change form. And for me, I believe that our trans, intersex and gender diverse whānau are tipua in present day form. And so again, from our ancestors, from out of our history, and unacceptable that they face discrimination because of that. And so again, from that Māori platform, then this is something that we hope will be useful for all of you. So, anything else? Oh, nō reira. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
Thank you very much for that really incredible presentation. The question that I wanted to ask is, within the Takitaki movement in New Zealand, how is that aligned for the recognition of trans within CEDAW? And the reason why I ask that is because within the Pacific, there is a massive amount of disorientation within the Whapahine, Whakalaiti, and all the other transgender identities within the Pacific about being included within CEDAW. Because we're not women enough in our culture, we're excluded, but the question I'm asking is, how does that translate within New Zealand under the Takitaki movement? So that was the question that I wanted to get.
I think as takatāpū, we fully accept that if you are dealing with someone's wairua, then regardless of the gender that they were assigned at birth, regardless of their appearance, or whether they express it, the gender that is right for them, that is true to their wairua, is the one that they are, that is their āpua. And so for us, then that's really simple. Then, āhua wahine, he wahine. And so, and we don't, te whanawhana hasn't, at this stage yet been involved directly, although individuals of us have. We've certainly represented with some of the United Nations work, but absolutely, and I would say that that's absolutely part of the national strategy, that we very categorically will be forcing, suggesting really strongly to our government that be made very, very clear. And as when Joey and Jack and Sally made their presentation and talking about putting gender identity and sexual characteristics on as grounds where then cannot be discriminated against in our Human Rights Act, I think that those things all will lead into that work. But absolutely, absolutely trans women. Mm. Kia ora.
I just wondered, how do you actually use this resource? What would you say, how you would actually use it, you know, in real terms? So I presume you don't just give it out to people.
Oh,
you do. But, I mean, normally I find when you give things out to people, they tend not to read them. Would you go through it with people? Would you... I know, I work in mental health, and I've spoken to people. If you give them something, they hardly have... All the statistics say if you give them a piece of information, they honestly, it's like 1% or 2% actually ever open it up. I just wondered, I don't know, maybe you found it different, but...
Well, I suppose we give it to those people who ask for it and
right.
want it.
Okay.
So our primary audience for this was whānau
right.
members who are struggling to encourage and support their takatāpū members. So that was kind of the first thing. And then it's kind of mushroomed out to other people who, so that they can become familiar with the term. And because we have the film resource, that's the trailer, we actually have extended interviews of each of those people. And so it's part of the education. And some real, everything inside this is very much couched within Māori culture, so that it's a thing for our whānau to understand. One of the tips is that we have always been here, that this is not a foreign Pākehā or white thing, actually. With the names we might use, lesbian, trans, those might be recent terms. The identities, who we are, that is ancient. And so that's what this is to do. I wondered, Jack, you'd mentioned that you've used or use this resource in some of your work, or how do you, what do you, how do you engage with it?
When I've gone to some places overseas, and there's many parts of the world where people struggle that, you know, all of these terms are Western constructs, or if you're in the global south, that they're global north ones. And I just say, look, this is a wonderful resource, because it doesn't start by saying, this is what sexual orientation, gender identity, and intersex or sex characteristics is, and then by the time we get to the end, and here are some Māori people who are this. Instead, it starts from whakapapa, wairua, mana, all of the things that you know, that are so intrinsic to being Māori, and then it says, and this is why, you know, if you discriminate against takatāpui, you are hurting yourselves. You know, we are hurting each other. So I think that's just, there's such a power in that. And so the people I show it to, well, they love it. It looks pretty. It doesn't have too many words. That's wonderful. When we're when we're talking,
it has to look pretty.
Yeah, it looks pretty. It's got. It's not too long, and people love that it comes from another part of the world. And like in Nepal, I showed it to people in Nepal, and they remember Elizabeth because Elizabeth came to a meeting there. So it's that relationships works, and so. They take it, they look at the pictures and they say, oh, I know her. And the people who play sport knew Kevin. And I don't know if they knew anyone else. Yeah. So it does work. And it's interesting, I remember thinking, like, well, you know, you think that's so small. When we brought out the Transgender Inquiry Report, it's so big. I thought, who would ever pick it up? But, you know, you'd have it on stalls and lots of people from NZPC would pick it up because it had pictures of people they knew and it had their stories in it. So I think some of our stuff, there's a hunger. And particularly Kaupapa Māori Resource, Pacifica Resources, there's a hunger that needs to be met to have those resources and to find ways of funding them.
Thank you.
Good answer. Thank you.
I'll just add to that, I'm a therapist and work with our community. I've only had access to the resource in recent times, but I'm thinking with clients that I would have loved to have had that book with, and that's how I use it now. And you can use it with anybody. You can use it with a young person or an older person, and you go through the narrative and you go, I'm really sad that your family is being an asshole to you right now. But that's not okay. And we read the story together, and to have the person hear a narrative and see it in a book that actually what's going on is not okay is just so powerful. So I would say, yes, this resource has been created to give visibility to takatāpui, but this is a resource for the planet that anybody can use. Thank you for the gift.
Thanks very much for that. So could you use this resource with healthcare professionals as well? That's one of the things I'm wondering, because I think it would be really cool if we could use it with healthcare professionals.
Absolutely. Any way that it can be used, we want to get that out. Cool. Get the word out. And I would just say too that we've got two more resources underway that will follow that up. We're working at the moment with Rainbow Youth to do one where we're interviewing young people, but also their parents and their grandparents. Uh-huh. And to say, yeah, it's so awesome. So then we say, how do you create a whānau? How do you actually make this a real thing to be accepting and deal with issues and whatever comes up, how do we make that happen? And then the third one, again with the Mental Health Foundation, around healthy relationships, around how we negotiate. And then we're starting to move out from Takatāpu, we're looking at our broader communities and whether we're wanting to have like the long-term monogamous thing that I've got going on with my partner, or we're polyamorous, or we're working as organisations with each other, how do we relate? So that's the that one will be starting soon. So they should be, the first one will be out this year and the other one following. So yeah, it's just real practical.
And just to touch up on that as well, you can order them for free. So the Mental Health Foundation website, you go to that and then you go and you go to either shop or media, and then you can order as many as you want for free. So yeah, everybody order piles and piles of them, and then we can get them reprinted. And also just, we have had a lot of feedback from various health providers and stuff as well, who find that they are actually, and again, and I think Abby, great point about people not usually reading resources, but I do think that this one might be a bit different just because there's such a dearth of anything, and there seems to be because it's such an accessible resource and in a space where there is, I mean, it's technically, as far as the research that we did, it was like the first Indigenous rainbow LGBTI suicide prevention resource in the world. It's so the need for that kind of information is massive. And
I've been talking to student nurses about tickets and this is all grab all our tickets to them, so this would be fantastic situation.
And it can be extended through, we've just got the trailer up at the moment, but eventually we'll get the full videos up, and then they can be used in a workshop setting or all sorts of things. And that's people of different ages, between from different iwi and different identities, and from their 20s to
here and in South.
Tēnā koe whai, kuri noa ki te whare. Nei rā, te mihi nunui ki a koe. He uri tēnei o kaitahu ka tīnā moi. I just wanted to say that I have never identified as Takatāpui because I have not felt comfortable enough in my kaitahu taka. But hearing you speak today and hearing your explanation that it covers all of us, I think that I am ready to claim that, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm a slow thinker, so this came a bit later, but I just thought, looking at that and the way it's set out, and also just coming from a really fantastic session with the Pacific delegates, and a presentation from Ken about Christianity and LGBTI and Rainbow, that there's so much crossover, and I think this would be a really great resource to share with people from different religious backgrounds who also are queer, Rainbow. Because there's so much crossover, the spirituality side is so much crossover, and I think it's, in a lot of religious debates, there's so much difference and people get lost in the detail. And what I like about what I've seen from this is that it really pulls back, and it gives like that broad picture, holistic thing, and just the amount of crossovers would be really great to share with people, Islamic brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters, and people from different religions, because it comes from that really great, strong base. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, hello everyone. I'd like to applaud you for this presentation. It kind of made me feel more, empowered and inspired. Because I come from a country where it's very cultural dominated as well, or from Vanuatu. And from Waiho Island, we believe that there ever exists the existence of LGBT community, and we've even got LGBT warriors as well. And just looking at your presentation, I feel that from now, in the present day, we are not really fully cultural we speak of our cultural identity, but we are not really it is today, because we are blessed, we forgot about the past. And just reading as well in this document that you have, it kind of like made me want to go back and dig further down back into the history books and into the Tanacha, that's like how you say in New Zealand, to find more information about this, the history. Because once we dig up that history and get more information about it, then we can incorporate into the present so that we can move forward to the, towards the future and then claim to say we are, we have the cultural identity.
Thank you. And it's so critical when we're talking about research. Always bring that up. It was two of our Papapapui scholars who got to the position where they could access material which wasn't easy to access by anybody else, and they found that word for us and gave it to all of our communities. And so I really applaud your suggestion. That's an incredible idea too, because that's, we have always been here. We are an ancient people from ancient cultures, and that knowledge of that exists, much as they've tried to get rid of it. You will find something somewhere, and sometimes it's in a story. One day when the PhD comes out, I've found some new things that I'll be able to talk about. But the way of trying that it took me months to find out and confirm that it was exactly what I thought it was, lesbian sex. And they. But yes, that is an awesome idea. Okay, I would like to finish with a waiata, because, oh, Betty. No, Kapa. You want to call it off? Or were you leaving?
No, why not? I was going to be a waiata.
Well, this is a waiata which I'm going to get everyone to join in. There's a couple of areas which repeat, which is great for me, because, you know, fitness is not my strength. So my breathing is always that great. So there's a couple of lines where I'm going to get you to repeat. So one of them is, let's see if I remember. The first one is, we won't kneel down. And then you repeat.
We won't kneel down.
Very good. Work with me. So, and then upon the ground.
Upon the ground.
Brilliant. And then we're going to swap into Māori. And the two phrases are ko te aroha.
Ko te aroha.
Beautiful. And me te mana.
Me te mana.
Fantastic. Do you know this one?
I do
now. Anyone else that knows this, absolutely join in. So, we are warriors, warriors. The Māori nation, and cross the wide, wide creation, we won't kneel down.
We won't kneel down.
Upon the ground.
Upon the ground.
Oh, how I love to hear them sing my Māori name. Ko te iwi Māori. Tātou ko ngā taonga piripono o ngā tūpuna. Ko te aroha,
ko te aroha.
Me te mana,
me te mana.
Me te tino ranga tiratanga e. Kia ora. And I've just been asked, they may not appreciate this, but today's Marnie's birthday, word on the street.
And it's gorgeous Sammy's birthday too. So I'd like to
ask, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Happen, isn't it?
interesting because for most of my life, my birthday was a day I hated. It was a day that had a lot of sadness around it. So I didn't want this to happen, but I will take it away as a memory of my family singing to me. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am.